Drawing from over 100 hours of never-before-seen footage that has been tucked away in the National Geographic Archives for over 50 years, award-winning director Brett Morgan tells the story of Jane, a woman whose chimpanzee research challenged the male-dominated scientific consensus of her time and revolutionized our understanding of the natural world. Set to a score by legendary composer Philip Glass, the film offers an unprecedented, intimate portrait of Jane Goodall, a trailblazer who defied the odds to become one of the world's most admired conservationists.
I became totally absorbed into this forest existence. I could give myself up to the sheer pleasure of being on my own in the rugged terrain that I was coming to know as well as I had known the Bournemouth Cliffs as a child. It was an unparalleled period when aloneness was a way of life. And even as I was, bit by bit, piecing together something of their way of life, so they were getting used to the sight of this strange white ape.
The film will premiere tonight at 8 o'clock on the National Geographic Channel. Brett Morgan is the director of the film, and he joins us on the roundtable this morning. Brett, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a sense of how this project came to be, of how you wanted to tell the life of Jane Goodall.
I've been making documentaries for 20 years, most of which have been about entertainment figures like Robert Evans, the producer of Godfather in Chinatown, Kurt Cobain, the Rolling Stones. And all my films have been constructed to serve one purpose, which is to create immersive experiences, to bring history to life. Most stories that take place in the past are presented as afterthoughts. And in nonfiction, oftentimes what we're doing is hearing about something. My goal has always been to invite the audience to experience it. So when National Geographic called and asked me to take a look at this depository of 60-millimeter footage they had, I immediately realized and recognized that my goal here was to try to create an immersive experience, to allow the audience to be in Jane Goodall's shoes in 1960 as she arrived off the shores of Lake Tanganyika and arrived at the Gombe National Preserve, walked into the jungle, and said she wasn't leaving until she was able to successfully cohabitate with the chimpanzees. And so what we've done for the last 3 years is go through all that old footage and create both a soundscape and an experience that we feel will be completely unique. And if you know nothing about Jane Goodall, this film will tell you everything you need to know. And if you know everything about Jane Goodall, this film, according to Jane, is the first and only film you will ever see that it really allows you to experience Africa as Jane experienced it back in the early 60s.
And is that because of this incredible footage and what you were able to have access to?
Well, the footage, one of the biggest challenge with this movie was the footage was initially shot to serve, to aid Jane in a series of scientific lectures. Dr. Louis Leakey, Jane's mentor, felt that no one would believe Jane and they needed photographic documentation to show it. So this footage was never intended to be used for the purpose that we were going to use it, i.e. to create an immersive experience. And we had to wrestle the footage for about 8 months before we were able to figure out the language and how to do that, because the shots were very static and very short, to be honest, and really didn't lend themselves to the experience we were trying to create. But through montage and, I believe, intensive and extensive sound work, we ultimately were able, I think, to bring Jane's journey into light.
When you talk about that journey, there's Jane, but then there's also the person who's doing the filming, right? I mean, that's part of the story as well.
It emerges as part of the story, correct. As the movie begins, we presented it in a kind of omniscient way. There's no presence of a camera person. It's a reconstruction of Jane by herself in Gombe. Shortly thereafter, following the narrative of Jane's life, National Geographic decided to send a cameraman out, and so we experienced that about 25 minutes into the film. That cameraman that they sent out was a young Dutch filmmaker, or I should say wannabe filmmaker, named Hugo van Lawick. Hugo had only been involved in one production prior to this. He was just starting his career, and this was an opportunity of a lifetime. When Hugo arrived in Gombe, he had no idea what to expect, and he was greeted on the shore by Jane Goodall, who, as many of your listeners may know, is quite attractive. So Hugo was immediately thought he won the lottery here. Not only did he get this incredible job, but it's like Adam and Eve in Eden, right? I mean, they're this beautiful woman, and he's a handsome young man, and they're both incredibly passionate about their work, and one thing leads to another, and the movie then follows that sort of epic romance. One of the things I was trying to do with this movie, though, is tell a love story, but not in the traditional sense. Most love stories are about male-female relationships or male-male, female-female. I was interested in a love story about Hugo and his work and Jane and her work, because without giving away too much of the film, that would be the most enduring relationship either of them had, the relationship they had with their work. And in that, I think it's also quite empowering for women to see a story about a woman who does not have to give up her dreams and ambitions in order to have a family.
And we also, of course, in the process of this, because of the work, we learn about the work itself and the importance of that work at the time and, of course, what it has become now.
Yeah, it's hard to measure the importance of Jane's study. I mean, we can start with some simple facts. Jane's study in Gombe is the longest study of any animal in the wild that's ever been conducted. It's been going on for nearly 60 years now. It is extensive, and they're still discovering things every day. There was some massive revelations that came out in the New York Times in November related to her work in Gombe. So nothing like this had ever been attempted, and it really changed the course of science. You know, prior to this, man was defined, I'm using terminology of the period, but man was defined as the only creature on Earth who used tools. That was how we were defined. And what Jane discovered early on was that the chimpanzees were using tools to fish out termites. And this was a groundbreaking discovery because it forced scientists in the academic community to redefine the very definition of man. And how apropos is it that it would be a woman that would force people to redefine man?
It seems as though this is quite a gift and a process for a journey, if you will, for Jane Goodall herself to go through this, see this footage, and react to it.
Jane, when she was approached about the film, she was very reluctant to get involved. She really didn't think that there is anything left to be said or done about her early years in Africa. She hadn't seen any of this footage, the stuff that we were going to build the film from, which none of which had ever been seen before. She was familiar, obviously. She was present on the shoot. But she really, I think what it came down to is she didn't think that there is a fresh perspective that could be had. When she saw the finished film, she was completely blown away. I mean, I say this humbly, or not so humbly, but however one deems it, but she loved the film. She felt it was the only time that her experience had ever been captured. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that rather than impose a narrative on the film, we took our story from Jane's writings, particularly from her book, In the Shadow of Man. And so what you see on screen is not necessarily the objective study of Jane Goodall, but it's Jane's life, Jane's work through her eyes. And there's an element of magical realism that we embraced that came from this sense that she was walking through a dream. And so I think for the audience, they will hopefully experience some of that as they see the film on National Geographic.
And it is a dream, isn't it? I mean, that's really the best way to describe it, if you think about it.
You know, having made this film, I've come to the realization that when I die, I'm hoping that Jane Goodall's life flashes before my eyes. I mean, it's very easy for me to say this. And I've said this to Jane, you know, looking, standing right next to her. And I said, there are just so few people who have ever walked this earth who have had as extraordinary a life as Jane and who have impacted the planet in such a positive way. If we think to a certain extent that our purpose on this earth is to just try to make the world just a little bit better for the next generation, it's impossible to calculate the inroads that Jane has made in that and to that end. I mean, very few people have ever came into this world and left it them as, you know, in a better place the way Jane has. And she's just, listen, as you and I are speaking, your listeners and you and I can have the confidence and the reassurance that somewhere out in the world right now, Jane Goodall is speaking to young people, educating and informing them, and trying to make the world a better place for us.
The name of the film is Jane. It premieres Monday night, March 12th at 8 o'clock on National Geographic. Brett Morgan is the director of the film. Brett, thank you very much for joining us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much.
Brett Morgan is the director of National Geographic Channel's documentary Jane, which will be seen tonight at 8 o'clock on the National Geographic Channel. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.